Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
If you don't know who I am, my name is Josh. I have the honor and privilege of serving as the Great Neck Campus Pastor here at Wave Church. And what a privilege it is to be a part of this house, to be a part of this church. And like I said, when we prayed, Pastor Steve and Sharon this morning are speaking in our Richmond campus. And I love... It's moments where even Legacy Sundays when we stream to all of our campuses, I try not to take for granted the fact that we are part of a church that is not just focused on one campus or ourselves, but we have a vision to reach out to our community and to wherever God has called us to go and to be. And just last weekend, anybody been enjoying this series, Don't Lose Your Dance? Seven of you, that's good because we're going to do it again. Pastor Steve mentioned last week, just in between services, he suggested that we keep the series going this week. And I want people to know when your senior pastor suggests something, you do that suggestion. Can I get an amen? And as soon as Pastor Steve mentioned this, I thought of, and I think it was the Holy Spirit. I don't think it was my memory because I can't even remember what I ate for breakfast. But I think the Holy Spirit, I felt the Holy Spirit remind me of this message that I spoke almost a year ago today. In fact, it was the first Sunday. Anybody remember the first Sunday when COVID madness shut everything down? It was the first Sunday we weren't able to meet in person and we went online. Anybody remember that? Feels like 17 years ago. This message, and I look back, and as the Holy Spirit reminded me of this word and I began to go over it again, we're gonna share a version of that message today. And I'm just reminded, I laughed because I was listening to the message and I'm like, Josh, you had no idea what the world was getting itself into. But I also thought about how God's word rings true in every single season of life. And I really believe it's no coincidence, no accident that you find yourself in God's house today. If you are new, I want to let you know here at Seaboard and online, welcome home. Welcome home. You do belong here. We serve a God who outrageously, amen, loves you. I've thought about this last year, this unique last 12 months, if you will, of how easy it has been to get stuck. How easy it has been for things to get stuck in our lives that really we know don't belong there. Can I get one good amen? And we're going to read some scripture out of Deuteronomy 1 before we pray. And if you're taking notes today, I encourage you to take notes. It just helps me remember. But obviously, we're going to continue the series. I believe this is the last week of Don't Lose Your Dance. And by the way, this series, Don't Lose Your Dance, I believe has been prophetic for us as a church. I believe it's been supernatural. There has been supernatural breakthrough that has taken place. If anything, this series has reminded us as Christians, we can smile in church. Can I get an amen? We can have fun in church. Can I get another good amen? 2021, I still love the word. Amen. I believe it's been prophetic for us as a church. We live in a world where people left and right are losing their joy, losing their dance, and we as the church, hopefully, are a beacon of light and hope, of showing the world, even in the midst of darkness, we don't have to lose our dance. Can I get one good? Amen. So if you'd like another more maybe specific title in this series of Don't Lose Your Dance, you can write this down, Break Camp. Break Camp. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, break camp. I'm not really sure what it means yet, but hey, break camp. If you don't like that title, I got another one for you. Just so you have options, you can write this down, it's time to turn. It's time to turn. Maybe you turn to your other neighbor that you just ignored and just say, hey, it's time to turn. It's time to turn. If you don't like that title, I ran out. That's all I have. So Deuteronomy 1, we're going to read from God's word. What we're talking about today comes out of this scripture. The Holy Spirit really impacted me, spoke to me when I was reading this. And just to give some quick context to where we're about to jump into, Moses is leading God's people, and he's about to stand up and preach and declare. To me, it's most likely the Sabbath, where Moses is about to get up and share what God is speaking to them, God's people about. He's going to declare, he's going to command, let them know what God is commanding them to do. But a little bit more understanding is this moment we're about to jump into. It has been almost 40 years since God's people have been set free. God set them free from Egypt, from captivity and slavery. Almost 40 years ago, that took place. And to go a little deeper, in this moment where Moses is about to kind of do what we're doing, have church today, in this specific moment, they're back at Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, and they've been here for about a year. So it's been 40 years since they've been set free. They've been wandering in the wilderness, and they're back at Mount Sinai, and it's been about a year since they've had camp at this place. Are y'all with me? If not, just pretend that you are. Nod your head. Deuteronomy 1, verse 6 says this. This is where we jump into, where Moses is going to let them know what God is saying. And Moses says this: "The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. You have stayed long enough at this mountain. You have overstayed your welcome.'" Verse 7, God says, "Break camp and advance." You've overstayed your welcome. It's time to break camp and advance. Down to verse 8, "See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their descendants after them." Now before we take time just to pray, I think it is worth noting and observing, because I think it is practical for us in the church that we are part of today to see something that God points out to his people. In the context of where God says this, of where they need to break camp from, this is a special place that God's people are. This is Mount Sinai. This is where God established his covenant with his people, his word and his truth. This is where he was known for his presence to be. And it's in this place that God says, "Hey, you guys have been here long enough." It's almost as if God's saying to his people, "You're not meant to just sit at my feet forever. At some point, you need to go and be my church." Can I get an amen? And I think it is a powerful reminder for us today of while it is so important and it is vital and it is a non-negotiable that we attend church, that we are in church, but at some point, and I'm thankful that we are this kind of church, we need to start being the hands and the feet of Jesus when we leave our Sunday services. Can I get an amen? God is reminding his people, and he's reminding us, church, that even in the midst of a world pandemic, to stay on mission. And this is why, and I've said this time and time again, and I believe it with everything inside of me, I am so thankful for our leadership, Pastor Steve and Sharon Kelly, who have fiercely led us through this last season. And I've watched them unwaveringly keep, as a church, the vision remained of what it has always been, the mission of Jesus Christ. And maybe it's never been so easy, at least for me, to get caught up in distraction of what really matters. I mean, things that are important, but getting caught up and distracted about things that eternally don't really matter. And the question that I keep coming back to, that the Holy Spirit challenged me, and that I keep having with individuals is yes, we need to be involved and we need to be passionate about things, but my question, and this is the question I ask myself, and it helps me understand, am I on mission or off mission? Have I become so caught up in something that I didn't realize I'm so distracted, I'm no longer on mission? This is the question that I ask myself. When was the last time I brought somebody to church? When was the last time, as a Christian, if you're a Christian in this place, when was the last time I brought somebody to church? Maybe a more important question is when was the last time my life was such an example to those around me? They came to church just from watching how I live my life. It has been so easy, church, to be distracted and caught up with things that, yes, are important and we need to be involved in, but we cannot afford to be distracted from the mission of the church. If you're not offended yet, don't worry. There's going to be plenty more opportunities coming along. Why don't we pray together? Here at Great Neck and at Seaboard and online. Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for your presence. Without your presence this morning would almost be a waste of time. God, I thank you for your beautiful church. God, every single human heart that is in this room, you designed, you orchestrated, you want every person to be seated in the seat they are sitting in. God, I thank you that we don't have to come to church and pretend like we got it all together. We can come before you just as we are. Holy Spirit of God, I think there's people in this service today that don't know you personally. At the end of today's conversation, we're gonna have the opportunity to surrender our lives to you. God, personally, I pray for your grace, your power, your authority. God, without it, I am nothing. God, help me, Holy Spirit of God, to communicate what you want to be said today. And everybody said, come on, everybody said. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in a situation where you realize you overstayed your welcome. You ever been there? Or maybe you're in a situation or a party at somebody's house and you see somebody that has overstayed their welcome, but they're so socially unaware, they don't realize they've overstayed their welcome. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or like anytime I get into an elevator, if I'm by myself, I'm fine. But for some reason, the moment, if anybody else gets in the elevator, it's like we've both overstayed our welcome. Avoid eye contact. And sometimes this happens where somebody starts, you know, wants to start a conversation, and it's either one of two things. One, you are just really outgoing, or you're a psychopath, and I'm not gonna take my chances. Can I get an amen? I thought about the contrast, thought about overstaying our welcome. I thought about the contrast of when we had our first child and our second child at the hospital. With our first child, with Liv, our daughter, you know, there's this, as a parent, we're about to be a parent, there's this scary unknown of what's about to take place. Like, we have no idea what we're doing. We still have no idea what we're doing. And Liv is born, this amazing experience, this unconditional love that just is inside of you, didn't even know was there. And this little beautiful baby, this little human being, this gift from God. But there's this scary unknown. And so we wanted to stay at the hospital as long as we could. Because how many people are thankful for nurses and doctors? Amen. Nurses change diapers. You're like, okay, you know, everything okay? Like, I can leave. Like, ma'am, no, you can stay here the entire time. You don't need to leave because you are so good at changing diapers. And I just love that you were just gifted by God to do that. You could stay in this room. And doctors would come in, they check Liv. And, you know, I'm that paranoid parent where I'm like, okay, did you do that right? Like, do you need to double check? Like, it's probably a good thing to double check, right? Like, this is my beautiful baby girl. Like, Josh, she's fine. We checked. She's good. And then the conversation was brought up of when it was time to leave. And I'm like, no, it's not time to leave yet. We're not ready to go home. I am, Brooke, not so much. I am terrified to go home because we got to go home with no nurses and no doctors. And so we're having the conversation like, is there like a reception we can call to have like a late checkout? Can we stay just a little bit longer? Say, no, in fact, you guys have overstayed your welcome. You guys need to go. There's other babies that need to be born. So the nurse helps us walk to the car, and we get to the car, and I'm trying to convince the nurse, like, are you sure you don't want to, like, hang out with us for, like, another day? You can come to our house. We'll make you food and dinner. You're just so good at changing diapers. We're driving home. I'm driving so slow with the hazards on, yelling and screaming at people that are driving the speed limit. It's too fast. There's precious cargo. Brooke, get on Amazon. Buy that precious cargo sign and get it with lights. People need to know. Any parents know what I'm talking about? But then our second baby, it was as if some of that scary unknown wasn't there. We felt a little bit more prepared. I mean, don't get me wrong. We still have no idea what we're doing. Parents got to get an amen. And Lachlan was born, our son. And now, to be honest, we're just excited to go home. Like, we're ready. We kind of feel like we kind of know what we're doing. We want to stay at the hospital. We want to go home. And the nurses are coming in and the doctors are coming in and they're checking. I'm like, is he good? Because, like, we're ready to go home. The doctor's like, maybe we should double check. I said, no, you didn't do that last time. You're not gonna do this again. In fact, you know what? You can leave, because every time you exhale in this room, I learned from the first time, it adds a zero to my hospital bill. So please. Like, can we get an early checkout? Like, we are ready to go. We're driving home, and I'm not speeding, but I'm driving the speed limit because there's 7 minutes before Chick-fil-A stops serving breakfast, and my son needs to know what is important in the Kelly family. Chick-fil-A breakfast. Can I get an amen? Maybe something we can all relate to that has overstayed its welcome is COVID. Yeah. Remember a year ago? I remember thinking, oh, a couple of months, surely this has got to be gone. And here we are a year later. I'm like, COVID, you have overstayed your welcome. You need to go. Can I get an amen? And here we are. Here we are in God's word. There's this moment where God specifically speaks to his people and says to his church, says to his people, hey, this mountain that you have camped at, you have overstayed your welcome. It is time to go. this mountain that you have been camping for almost a year now, it is time. I am your God, and I am telling you it is time to break camp and advance. Advance where? Advance to the promised land that I've called you to go to. And I don't know who this may be before, but I believe there's some people in church today, and God is speaking to you, empowering and almost beckoning you. There are some mountains that you have overstayed your welcome in your life, and God wants to declare and speak over you. It is time to break camp and advance into the promises and the plan that He has for your life. Maybe it's an old mountain that you have refused to leave. Maybe it's a new mountain that you have found yourself camping at in this world pandemic. And God wants to speak to you today. I believe God is speaking to some people today. Say, it's time to break camp and advance. Maybe there's some things God has been speaking to you about that you were unsure of and you have got some doubt with. And this, can I just remind us, church, this Christian life is not a life of just convenient, easy, comfortable life, but it is a life of taking faith steps, of following Jesus, of what He has called you to do. I wonder what mountain, think about this, church. What mountain have you overstayed your welcome? Is it the mountain of complacency? Is it the mountain of stale religion? Is it the mountain of lukewarm Christianity? Is it the mountain of unforgiveness? You've overstayed your welcome. It's time to break camp. Is it the mountain of sin? Is it the mountain of fear? Is it the mountain of doubt? Is it the mountain of greed and stinginess? And God wants to speak to you today and say, hey, it's time to break camp and advance. Can I get one good amen? You know, I need to clarify something, because if you're like me, when I read God's word, sometimes I want to skip things that I don't prefer. And when I read a verse like this, sometimes I pick and choose what I see. And if we're not careful, we can read a verse like this and we get excited about the concept of advancing into the promises of God, the promised land of God. But we cannot skip what God said first. We get so enamored with the promise that we miss God's process to the promise. What did God say first? He said, break camp. Church, we cannot advance to the promised land without first breaking camp. Can I get one good amen? Say, what does break camp mean? Well, in the original text, the original language, this phrase break camp means this, to turn from. To turn from, to leave behind, to leave some things behind. I wonder, church, I would love us, encourage us to think about this. What promised land is simply waiting for you to leave something behind? What promised land, what promise of God is right before you, and all you need to do is leave that thing behind? What do you need to turn from to advance into what God is calling you to do? What is it that God is speaking to you about that you need to let go, but you keep hanging on to? I wonder, what is the Holy Spirit trying to tell you, trying to communicate to you, and you're frustrated because there's some mountains in your life that you're wondering, why am I still here? But we haven't taken the time to listen to the Holy Spirit. Saying, I know you're frustrated, but I've been trying to have this conversation with you. It's time to let that thing go. Amen. As I was preparing this message, and praying over this message, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and reminded me that while there are some mountains that we overstay our welcome, there are also some things that we allow to camp in our hearts that have overstayed their welcome. There are some things that we allow to camp in our hearts that have overstayed their welcome. Did you know the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, catch this, church, you still with me? Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, above everything else, guard your heart. Watch this. For everything you do flows from it. The Bible says, above everything else, guard your heart, because every decision that you do or don't make is a reflection of what is in your heart. You know, one of the things COVID has done, at least from my observation of my own life, has revealed to me how unguarded my heart is. And make no mistake, the enemy is working and prowling, trying to find a way, any which way, to infiltrate your heart, trying to gain access to your heart. You know, just this last year, I was flying back from Texas, and I was traveling with Davey Dworsky. Anybody love our worship pastor, Davey Dworsky? And we're driving back to the airport to come home, and we realized that we had a four-hour layover in Dallas. And so we thought to ourselves, well, 4 hours, not gonna hang on the airport for 4 hours. It's Dallas. You know, my brother lives there. We'll see if he's in town. We'll hang out. We'll go eat something. There's an Australian restaurant I know of that's in Dallas to make Australian food. Australia doesn't do a lot of things well, but one of which they do is breakfast. So we're gonna go eat breakfast at this cafe. We'll call Sam, you know, let's just go, we'll go do stuff for 4 hours, and then we'll come back and fly home. And so we go eat breakfast at this Australian cafe, and then I call Sam. I said, Sam, you're not gonna believe it. We have a 4 hour layover. We're in Dallas. Are you here? Let's hang out. He said, Josh, oh man, of all the times, like I'm not in town, I'm not home. But you guys have 4 hours. Josh, why don't you guys just go hang out at my house? Just relax. I'll tell you where the keys are. And externally, I'm like, Sam, that's so kind. That's a great idea. Internally, I'm like, you forgot who your brother is. The most unwise thing you could do is give me access to your home while you're not there. So we go to Sam's house, and I want to make sure that I rearrange something in every room just so that they knew I was there. I think we have a photo of me at the front door just making sure their packages were all in place. And I think we have another photo. I think I took a nap in every bed that they have in their home. And I think there's one more photo. Thunder's play equipment. I want to make sure it was durable. And here's the thing. Last time Sam was in Virginia Beach, he took one of my favorite hats. He just took it because he's a thief. He's a little brother. That's what little brothers are. And so I remember I was with Davey. I said, Davey, I'm going to take something, but I'm not just going to take anything. I went through his closet. I looked at his clothes. I rearranged it in his shoes. I said, I'm not going to take that. I'm going to take something that's going to make him, I'm going to make him angry. So we go into the kitchen, and we're using his new coffee machine that he just got. I made amazing coffee, and I look up into the cupboard, and I see, and this is maybe going to sound a little silly, but it means so much to him, these coffee cups that like some artist designs and makes, and these are expensive. I don't know if you knew, but there's such thing as expensive coffee cups. And I remember thinking, Sam talks about these all the time. I looked at Davey and said, Davey, I'm going to take one of these cups. I said, which one do you think is favorite? That's the one I'm going to take. And to Davey's credit, he said, Josh, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think you should do it. So this is all on me. I will take full responsibility. And I take this cup and said, I'm taking this cup. But Davey, we're not going to take a photo and send it to Sam until we're on the plane. So Sam knows there's no turning back. I've taken this cup. This is the photo that we took on the plane that I sent to Sam. That's the cup that we sent to Sam. Sam immediately calls me. We're about to take off. He is, church, if I could describe to you the anger in his heart. You can take that photo down. And I remember laughing and saying to Sam, you can't be that mad because this is your fault. You gave me access to your home. You told me, you gave me the keys to your home, free for me to steal whatever I want. You know what I found is that the enemy cannot steal that which he does not have access to. And I wonder, church, where have we given access to the enemy? Where have we allowed the enemy to infiltrate our hearts, to have a foothold in our hearts? And I think in this particular season, one of the things that the enemy is working so hard to steal from God's people, and he's trying to do this, one of the reasons he's trying to do this because he knows how powerful of a weapon it is in the hands of a believer, is your praise. The enemy is working to steal your praise. Y'all still with me? The band could come on up. There they are. Everybody love it. Come on, let's one more time. Let's give it up for our band. The enemy is trying to steal your praise because I believe at times the enemy knows the power of praise better than we do. The enemy is trying to steal your praise because he knows that a praising Christian has their eyes on Jesus and nothing else. The enemy is trying to steal your praise because he knows that praise brings breakthrough. He knows that he can't compete with a praising Christian. The enemy's trying to silence you because he knows praise is a weapon. He knows that praise opens up the supernatural, that praise breaks chains off of people's lives. It breaks down walls. He knows that there are some battles. The enemy is trying to steal your praise because he knows there's some battles in your life that are only won through praise. Can I get an amen? The enemy is trying to steal your praise because he knows a praising Christian has acknowledged the battle is not their own, but it is their God's. And if the devil can't steal your praise, he will at least try to dictate the instrument in which you use to praise. If the enemy can't steal your praise, he will at least try to dictate how you praise. In seventh grade, I was in band class, not by choice, it was mandatory. It's not music, isn't really like my grace or gifting. Recess and PE was kind of my grace and gifting. Can I get an amen? Seventh grade, I was in a private Christian school, didn't really do well there. That's an entire other message. When I'm in seventh grade band class, we have to take it and we walk into the room like, well, we may as well try to enjoy this class. And I remember looking around and seeing the instruments and saying, oh, some of these are cool. And I see drums. And I see the drums. I'm like, well, obviously I'm a drummer. Like maybe this is this new calling I didn't know. I'm going to be a drummer. And so we sit down and the teacher's name wasn't this, but for the sake of another name and being culturally sensitive, her name was Miss Karen. Sorry to all the Karens out there. And Miss Karen says to the class, all right, class, I'm going to decide what instrument you're going to play this year. I remember thinking, how are you going to discern what instrument I should play after just meeting me? But surely she must understand that I'm called to be a drummer. So she starts going around the room and she gives the kid next to me the drumsticks. I remember thinking, him? Did you not look at me? And then she looks at me and she says, Josh, you're gonna play the recorder. Yeah, everybody else is laughing just like you were. I don't wanna play the recorder because when there's a concert, nobody can hear you. Nobody, and here's the other thing is nobody has ever asked for a recorder solo in the history of concerts. Let me show you. Anybody want to hear a recorder solo this morning? Jacob, could you serenade us, please, with a recorder solo? Stop clapping. It's not good. I wanted to play the drums because everybody wants to hear a drum solo. Anybody want to hear a drum solo this morning? Matt, can you please bless us with a drum solo? I think you got more. Anybody think he's got more? Anybody want some more? Come on, Matt. Miss Karen would leave the room. I would steal the drumsticks from the kid that should have never been using them in the first place. I would play the drums. Miss Karen would come back and say, Josh, you're not allowed to play the drums. I designated and dictated for you to use the recorder. So we go to eighth grade. There's another mandatory band class, but there's a different teacher, Mr. Thompson. We walk into the room. I'm just expecting for him to designate the instruments that we use. And we sit down and Mr. Thompson, Mr. T goes, all right, class, today's first day class. Everybody's going to look around at the instruments and you're going to think about what instrument you're going to play. He said, Mr. T, I just want to double check something because I've been living in musical bondage in seventh grade. Did you just say that I can decide whatever instrument I want to? He said, Josh, whatever instrument you want to use. I don't decide that for you. You get to decide. I said, did you mean to say that I can do a drum solo? I can play the trombone if I wanted to? I could tickle the harp if my heart desired? I said, Josh, yes. I'm not dictating that for you. And I found One of the reasons there are so many Christians that are silent is because we've allowed the enemy to dictate the instrument of our praise. We've allowed the enemy to convince us how we praise, where we praise, why we praise, when we praise. We begin to buy the lie from the enemy that we don't have a reason to praise. And maybe if you do start praising, the enemy just wants you to pick up your cute little recorder. Say, well, Josh, what is recorder praise? I don't know if you're aware of this, but recorders are not expensive. It's about $5-6 for that beautiful musical piece that Jacob just used. Recorder praise sounds like cheap praise. It sounds like this. Well, if God does it, I'll praise him. If they play my song in church and I get goosebumps, then I'll praise him. If I feel like it, I'll praise him. What does recorder praise sound like? If life is easy, then I've got a reason to praise him. If the person I voted for gets elected, then I will praise God. If I get the raise that I was believing for and praying for, then I'll praise him. If I'm healed, I'll praise him. It's almost as if it's no risk praise. Because it's quiet enough, if God doesn't do the thing you were believing for, people would have never known that you had faith for it. And the problem with recorder praise is that it is not loud enough in which I can still hear the lies of the enemy. You say, well, what is drum praise? A drum is a little more expensive than a recorder. It's the kind of praise that costs you. What does drum praise sound like? It sounds like the Shunammite woman whose dream it was to have a son. She was praying and believing, God, please give me a son. And God gives her a son only to grow up young and pass away. This woman, her son is dead. Her dream is dead. And the prophet comes back into town. He doesn't know what's happening. And he asks the Shunammite woman, how are you doing? And the first thing that comes out of her mouth, her confession is, it is well. Even in my grief, even in my despair, even in my darkness, I know that I have a reason to praise my King. I know and I trust that God can work good in all things. What does drum praise sound like? It sounds like Paul in prison. Drum praise. It sounds like Paul in prison. He's put in chains. He's behind bars. Paul, keep in mind, is in prison for doing the very thing God called him to do. And it's midnight and Paul is behind bars. And what does Paul do? He thinks to himself, well, there's one thing I can still do, and that is praise my God. So even in these chains and even behind these bars, I'm gonna lift my voice towards heaven. I'm gonna praise my King. I'm gonna worship my Savior. And what begins to take place? The walls begin to shake. The chains begin to be loose. What does drum praise sound like? It sounds like, God, I'll praise you before you do it. I'll praise you while you're doing it, even if I can't see you doing it. What does drum praise sound like? After you do it, God, I'll praise you. Even if you don't do it, God, I will praise you, because I don't praise for outcome. I praise because of the outcome of the cross. And I wonder, is there anybody in Wave Church this morning? You're going to pick up your drum again. Come on, for 10, 15 seconds, can we give our God, can we give him our praise? Come on, Wave Church, stand to your feet. Come on, Wave Church, stand to your feet for 10, 15 seconds. Can we give God praise? Can we give him praise? Can we give him praise? Can we give him praise? Come on, church, pick up your drum again. I can feel the Holy Spirit in this place. You understand there are some things right now that the enemy is losing his foothold. Praise is not a hype moment in a service. Friends, it is a weapon. And the best thing about when we pick up our drum and we really begin to praise God is I can no longer hear the lies of the enemy. With a cheap recorder in my hand, I can still hear him. But when I begin to praise God, regardless of what my situation looks like or sounds like, and I begin to praise him, suddenly I can't hear the lie of the enemy anymore. Some of us need to put down the recorder and pick up our drum again. Friend, this is church. For some of us, even this moment was a little awkward. And friend, I've been there. But he's worthy of our praise. And I pray we're the kind of church, whether we are in our 11 a.m. service at Wave Church or we find ourselves in prison for doing what God has called us to do, I pray we're the kind of church that is audacious enough to lift our hands and lift our voice and praise our King anyway. Pick up your drum again. If you could stay standing with me, because in just a moment, we're going to spend some time in worship. And friend, I really believe there's going to be supernatural breakthroughs about to take place. But as I was preparing this message, even just yesterday, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and reminded me, and I believe this may be for somebody today, whether on Great Neck at Seaboard or online, that we are most vulnerable. We are most vulnerable to the enemy stealing our praise right after God doesn't answer a prayer in the way that we thought he would. We are most vulnerable when we face great disappointment. Because in the natural, it's easy to buy the lie from the enemy. You don't have a reason to praise. You had faith for it. You've been tithing, you've been giving, you've been following God, and you prayed for that thing. You prayed for your friend and that they're not healed. Friend, if you're here today, and maybe life has looked different than you thought that it would, maybe you're facing great disappointment, can I encourage you to guard your heart with praise? Friend, don't you dare let the enemy steal your praise. Can I get one good amen? We're going to close with a song that we're going to worship together. Just this week, the Holy Spirit reminded me, I heard this song, and the Holy Spirit reminded me of something that I personally have struggled with in my Christian life. And it is this: how often I find myself trying to stand on my own, forgetting that the posture of Christianity is on my knees bowing before my Savior. And I thought to myself, how often we find ourselves praising God, still standing. Still standing. This song just declares, this love has got me falling to my knees again. And it's not even so much as the outward expression, because we're about to worship, but I'm not asking everybody to fall to your knees. It hurts on your knees. The heart, the ground is hard. Can I get an amen? If you want to, by all means. But what I mean is your spirit, your heart. God, I'm done trying to stand on my own. I fall to my knees again, and I surrender again. I think about a moment in Scripture where Jesus, the Son of God, walks into the Garden of Gethsemane. He's at the end of himself. The Bible says Jesus falls to his knees before the Father. The Bible says Jesus falls to the ground. Friend, if Jesus, the Son of God, could fall to his knees, you best believe that you and I can live in a posture of surrender. Friend, I have found it is a daily decision. God, I fall before you again. God, I'm not trying to stand on my own. I surrender everything again, and I've found that I stand the tallest when I fall to my knees. Before we sing this song in worship, I was reminded of a youth leader that we interviewed years and years ago. This is before I was a youth pastor. He's an amazing young man. I'll never forget. The youth pastor was interviewing him. This young man was born with no arms and one leg. He was still able to walk around. It was amazing. And in this interview, this young man said, you know, one of the benefits to my situation is that I'm always in the posture that I need to be as a Christian, down here, bowed before my Savior. I'll never forget it. How often I try to stand. I try to stand. And I think to myself, I've got this. I've got this. Josh, no, you don't. And I believe one of the things that God wants to speak to some people this morning as we worship in this song, as we fall before him again, is we're gonna hear the voice of heaven encourage you. I want you to catch this. God is gonna let you know, son, daughter, I've got this. I've got it. And you know what else? You know what else? I've got you. So we fall to our knees before our Savior again. Holy Spirit spoke to me this week, said, Josh, I've got this. You have proven to yourself that you don't. Just stay in this posture, Josh. I've got this and I've got you. I'm reminded, church, of the freedom that is found in complete surrender to Jesus. It's quite difficult to bow before our Savior King and not let go of the things that we need to. One of the powerful things of falling to our knees, surrendering before our Savior, is we almost have to let go. One of the things that I think we all struggle with at times is letting go. God, I let go again. That thing I've been trying to hide from you that you're already aware of and you still have grace for me. God, I let it go. Friend, the freedom that is found in surrender. And I wonder if you're here this morning, church, if you could just stay standing for a moment longer. If you need to sit down, by all means, take a seat. But here at Great Neck and online and at Seaboard, already two people online have made a decision to follow Jesus. Three people. If you're here today, friend, do you know what it is? Do you know what it is to surrender your life to Jesus? Have you given your life to Jesus? Are you a Christian? Do you know what it is to turn from who you used to be and advance into who God has called you to be? Do you know what it is to repent, to be forgiven of your sin? I'm not asking you to believe in God. The devil believes in God. I'm asking, do you know what it is to be in a relationship with Jesus? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm gonna ask everybody here and online to begin to pray. If you're a Christian, come on, let's begin to pray. Let's begin to stir our faith. This is the most important part of this service. If you're in this place today, say, Josh, I need to give my life to Jesus. In a moment, I'm gonna ask you to lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see. There's already a hand right there. I'm gonna ask you just to simply lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it, just so I know to include you in a prayer. But I wonder today if you're here, do you know, friend, do you know that your eternity is in heaven? The plan and purpose God has for your life. I'm gonna count to three, and if that's you, after three, I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. There's another hand right there. Say, Josh, that's me. I want you to include me in a prayer. I need to give my life to Jesus. I want to leave this place knowing that I'm a Christian. One, if you're in this service today, there's another hand right there. It's amazing. If you're in this service today, say, Josh, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. I'm done trying to stand on my own. I want to surrender my life to him. Two, if you're in this service today and if you're being honest with yourself, another two hands right there, another hand over there. If you're being honest with yourself, you know that you've walked away from God. You're backslidden. Friend, the good news is that God is not angry, God is not mad. In fact, he is seated here today, with arms wide open, smiling, saying, welcome home again. Three, if that's you in this place, lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see another hand there, another hand back there. Anybody else, say, Josh, that's me. Six people online, once I've seen it, you can put it down. Another hand right there. If I haven't seen it, give me a wave. Another hand over there, another hand back there. Anybody else? Come on, church, continue to pray. Continue to pray. Another hand right there, another hand there. Anybody else? I just want to wait a moment longer. Eternity is way too important, friend. For in this service today, if I haven't seen it, just give me a quick wave. Seven people online. If you're watching online, you can still click that button. I just want to wait 30 more seconds. Just want to wait 30 more seconds. I see your hand. Just a moment longer. The reason I'm waiting is because I sense the Holy Spirit. There's maybe one or two more. Maybe you're trying to convince yourself, man, is this really for me? Yes, friend, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So how could God save me? Friend, the beauty of this gospel is God loves you just as you are, just as you are right now. He also loves you so much he won't leave you there. It's the beauty of the cross. Anybody else? Quickly, raise your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it so I know to include you in this prayer. I'm just gonna wait a moment longer. Just give me a quick wave. If I haven't seen it, say, Josh, that's me. I'm done trying to do this on my own. I'm gonna wait just a moment longer. I believe God's got somebody's number here this morning. Anybody else? Your heart is beating, your stomach is turning. Friend, that's not me, that's not music. That is the Holy Spirit of God. Anybody else? Just gonna wait a moment longer. Friend, if you're wondering, is he talking about me? Friend, I am, I see your hand. Amazing. Church, can we lift our eyes together? Can we give the loudest? I know that we've praised a lot, but can we give the loudest shout of praise? Come on, church, can we celebrate? Give the loudest shout of praise. Amen. We're gonna say this prayer together as a church family. If you made that decision, you're gonna see a number behind me. If I can encourage you to text that number, it lets us know you made that decision. Online, you can click that link as well. This is important because the enemy would love to do everything he could to convince you that you can go out and do this on your own. But Bible clearly shows us, friends, that God designed us to be a community. He built and established his church because we need each other. And I want to encourage you, the best decision you can make is come back to church next Sunday. Plant yourself in God's house. If you're already part of a church, plant yourself there. If you're not a part of a church, how many people think this is an amazing church? You can call your church home. Friend, don't let this be just a momentary decision. I want to encourage you to let us know you made that decision so we can come alongside you, show you the next step that is before you in following Jesus. Why don't we say this prayer together in person and online? Why don't we say this? Say Jesus. Come on, church, let's say it with passion. Say Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Forgiving me of my sin. Raising from the dead. Giving me a hope and a future. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. I'm gonna live for you. I turn from my old self and I advance into who you called me to be. And everybody said, amen, amen. One more time, let's celebrate every single person.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.